I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM and Sports Radio 66 WFAN.
And we're back in Tampa at George M. Steinbrenner Field. Yankees and Blue Jays getting set to open the exhibition season today. 1 o'clock, John and Susan will have all the play-by-play for you here. The game is on TV on YES as well, if you're interested. And we continue along now with one of the Yankees' special guest instructors. It doesn't feel like it was that long ago where he was getting ready for the game. Tino Martinez, kind enough to give us a few minutes. Tino, how are you?
I'm doing great. Happy to be here.
4 days of batting practice, and then these guys get to go out there and face guys who are throwing close to 100 miles an hour on almost every pitch. That seems a little hard.
You know, it does. I think it's great, though, for the players, though, because I know back in the days when I played in the 90s, we had about 12 to 14 days of just drills and practice before we saw another team. We had inter-squad games, so it got really monotonous. Those 14 days by the time the first game actually started. So these guys know the deal, so they're probably preparing in the offseason a little earlier to get ready for a quicker start than we used to do.
Would you like, so like just 3 days of BP and then throw you into game action, you would have enjoyed that?
Yeah, I would have, because I would have probably tried to face some live pitching before I got here in spring training from, you know, the minor league coaches or somebody over there across the street, and just to be prepared. But you know, once you get into game situations and your timing, it takes a little while to get your timing down no matter what, so it's nicer to get out there and see some big league pitchers that aren't on your team.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you know, inter-squad games are monotonous as well, but to face the opposing teams and try to get your blood flowing.
So you know something about coming to spring training with big expectations. It happened almost every year. Yeah. I mean, your first year here, 96, the Yankees win.
Yeah.
Every year after that, that was the goal, and that's where you expected to be. And star players kept coming in, and the expectations kept getting ramped up. How do you manage that? How do you, what would you tell these guys if they asked you, how do you carry that weight and get through a season?
Well, I mean, it's just the expectations of the New York Yankees regardless. And when I got here, fortunately, we had a good team in 96 and were able to win it that year. And then it became, you know, we had to win every year, or if not, it was a not a successful season. These guys have been so close in the last 3 years now that they realized what they want to do. They want to win that World Series. Judge, those guys, they know the expectations. They carry that. That's their goal now. It's not, let's get to the playoffs again and go from there and see what happens. It's we have to win the World Series or the season's not going to be a successful one. And that's the attitude you have to have amongst the players on the team and the coaching staff to really feel like you're a World Series championship team. And they are. They do have the talent.
You were fortunate enough to finish the deal many times, 4 times in 5 years. These guys, as you said, they've come close, and they've gotten knocked out in 17, 18, yeah, and 19 with good teams, teams that could have won.
Very good.
But some of the breaks didn't go their way. What's that winter? 97 is the one where you can relate to these guys. What's that feeling like? What's that winter like as you prepare to, you were so close, and you had the talent to win, but didn't?
It's crushing. I mean, the offseason is, it's crushing. I know when we won in 96, when we came back in 97, we felt we had a better team going to 97. And to get to lose that first or second round to the Cleveland Indians that year was heartbreaking. We thought we had a better team than we did in 96. So that whole offseason was a disappointment. And then coming back in 98 again, we felt like our goal is to win the World Series. We had that type of team. And we went out there and played really well again and obviously won again. And we just knew how to do it. At that point, you know, you learn how to play in the close games. You learn how to hit in a tight game, you learn how to pitch in a tight game, and make the plays on defense. Just kind of all comes together at once, and we found a way to win those 11 games of the postseason many times.
Those are hard. The last 11 are the hardest ones,
yep,
right?
They are, yes.
We're talking to Tino Martinez, Sweeney Murdy here in Tampa. Yankees and Blue Jays will get the exhibition season started at 1 o'clock. John and Susan have the play-by-play for you here from Steinbrenner Field. Speaking of defense, first base is a position that Miguel Andujar is trying to learn. I know you've worked with him a little bit over there. What have you seen from him so far?
Well, he's got the talent to do it. You know, he's a good defensive player. If you can play third base with that quick reactions, you can definitely play first base. The hardest part is maybe turning to double play, you know, to pivot the opposite way than you do from third base to throw the ball to second base. You have to teach that little bit of footwork there. And besides that, it's all about really the hard part is learning where you have to be at all times, where your cutoffs are, when the ball is in left center gap, right center gap, man on first base, where do you got to go? And that's the hardest part is trying to get him to comfortable to feel like when before that ball is hit, he'll know the situation already where he's got to be in a double, a man on first base with a double, whatever it may be, a ball down the line. That's the hard part. Once he gets all that down, it's a lot of information, but he could do it.
The footwork you talked about, that seemed to be one of his issues with the throwing problems he had at third base. Is it completely different on that side? Can he make that adjustment quickly based on the problems that he had earlier?
Yeah, well, this throw is a lot shorter, obviously. Basically, most short throws are from first to second base, not from third across the diamond. So that footwork of pivoting to his right side to throw to second base as opposed to like naturally throwing it from a regular ground ball to second base is a lot different. But he has the arm to do it. I think his problems in the past from third base were just from getting a little lackadaisical. He's got the arm to get the ball across the diamond really, really well. I just think sometimes he takes it for granted and just kind of tosses it up there real easy, and it just kind of gets away from him. So you have to really focus on defense. I know for a fact I played a lot of years on every single throw. You just can't take a play off, and you got to pretend that every throw is important.
I know you're not an outfielder, but he's seen some time in the outfield too. Listen, he's important to this team. He was such a big bat 2 years ago. Aaron Boone has talked about the early work that they've seen at the different positions. He's shown the ability to do it. The game action is something different, and that just comes with experience. You agree?
Totally. I totally agree with that. You can go out there and take all the fly balls you want in practice and off the bats in batting practice, but you know, when the game starts, when you're out there in a 50,000-seat stadium, you know, the ball looks a lot different coming off the bat with all the people in the stands, and you got to learn how to pick the ball up quicker and get the jumps on the ball as well. I mean, if your jump is a little late, you know, you're turning it out into a double. So you have to learn how to read the ball off the bats. Playing left field is similar to third base with the way the ball comes off the left-handed bat, it'll slice away, and from the right-handed batters, it'll slice the opposite way. So he knows that. But it's all a matter about getting the footwork, the jumps on the ball, and seeing and just, you know, being alert at all times.
We're talking to Tino Martinez here on The Fan. A player that you had some history with earlier is Giancarlo Stanton. You worked with him a little bit in Miami, your brief stint there. You know, knowing him the way you do, he's kind of a hard guy to read sometimes.
Right.
What do you think about just the way he's coming in here, trying to wipe out the injuries from last year and get started again?
Yeah, no, he's driven. The guy's driven. You know, when you hit 59 home runs a couple years ago, again, that's your expectations. That's the type of numbers he's capable of putting up, and he knows he wants to put up. So last year with the injuries was definitely disappointing for him. But if he can stay healthy, which I think he will, you know, he's going to have a big year. I mean, he's more comfortable now playing in New York than he was last year. But I really think he's going to have a big year. He looks really good in spring training right now. And, again, if he can just stay away from the injury bug, I expect him to hit, you know, 40, 50 home runs again.
I've got the promotional schedule here, and there are a couple of 2000-related things here. 20 years, believe that?
20 years, yeah, I know. I can't believe that. Looking at the field here and knowing this is the
25th
season here. I was here for the first one,
mm-hmm.
So thinking that was, you know, 25 years ago, it blows my mind. So, yeah, the 20-year World Series against the Mets, I guess, the 2021.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing that it's been 20 years ago, and seems like yesterday. And I'm looking forward to a lot of good things at the stadium this year.
Everybody talks about as much pressure as it was trying to win the other ones. That one had the most pressure attached to it. You agree?
The most pressure, yeah. Absolutely. I think, you know, you never really root for a team or not, you know, against a team. But when they were playing the Cardinals, I believe, in the NLCS, I think we were pulling for the Cardinals because we knew that, you know, we had already won. We think we swept our series,
yeah.
And they were going into a longer series with the Cardinals. And the Mets were playing really good, and we knew that. They were pitching well. They were hitting the ball well. So we knew going into that World Series that that was the most pressure we were ever going to have. And I think George Steinbrenner put that on us from the beginning when he came out in the paper and said, if we don't win this World Series, the other three mean nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
So that on top of it. But that was, fortunately we were able to win in, you know, 5 games. But the games were tight. I mean, they could have gone either way. And it was a tough series, but I'm so happy we got through that one.
I think it was David Justice homered off of Arthur Rhodes, and I guess that would have been game six to push you into the series.
Yeah.
But once you once you know you're playing the Mets, okay?
Yeah.
How do you tune out? I mean, it's one thing when you're playing another team, but now you're in this town, you're in the city. You don't have to get on a plane to go somewhere else. I mean, all the games are right there. Yeah. So whether you walk down the street to get coffee that morning, or do you turn on the TV, the radio, newspapers, did you just automatically tune out loud, or did you kind of have fun with it?
No, you have fun with it. Yeah. There's no way you can tune it out. You almost try to accept it. Like you said, walking around Manhattan, walking around the city, every restaurant you go to, there's Yankee fans and Mets fans everywhere, and it was such a cool feeling, though, the vibe of the whole city everywhere you went. And the cool part was not having to get on an airplane, you know, take that bus across to Shea Stadium. And, the Yankee fans and New York fans are the greatest fans in sports, I think. And when you go to Shea Stadium, you're playing the World Series against the Yankees. The Mets are against the Yankees, and those Mets fans were loud, and I mean, they were tough, and it was fun atmosphere. And same thing in Yankee Stadium. The Yankee Stadium fans were louder than ever to get on the Mets, try to get rattle the Mets a little bit. But you cannot tune it out. You accept it, and we really enjoyed the whole thing, especially since we won.
And you mentioned those games were close. I mean, you had swept an earlier World Series, and you won this one in five, but it felt a lot different. I would guess it's mostly because of the pressure. I know the games are tight. The first game went extra innings, and you needed the late comeback and to win game five, but the pressure to win those games is really what made it so much different.
Yeah, I mean, game one, there was pressure on game one. You know, we won that when they made a couple of errors or mistakes here, the base running errors, whatever, made this base running mistakes. Little things here that cost them, but they were playing a lot, really good baseball. And to win game one was huge. Again, game two, and knowing that we got home field still was a good feeling. But, you know, we wanted to try to win that thing in 4 or 5 games if we can, because the longer it goes, the more confident the Mets would have gotten, a lot of the fans would have gotten, it would have been a lot more pressure on us, and it would have been tougher.
We're talking to Tino Martinez. You got to make the trip last year to Cooperstown to watch your buddy Mariano Rivera. You've had a lot of your former teammates. I mean, you think back, Griffey, Edgar Martinez, Randy Johnson, Mariano Rivera, Mike Messina, and now this summer it's going to be Derek Jeter. That's going to be kind of fun, huh?
Yeah, it's going to be great. You know, last year was my first time ever going there to see Mariano, so I had no idea what to expect, and what a great ceremony that is. Obviously the highest honor in baseball, but to sit there and see all the Hall of Famers back there on the stage is really cool. But having Derek going in this year is going to be amazing as well. I'm looking forward to that, and I'm sure there's going to be a lot of Yankee fans there and make that experience something that's never going to be forgotten.
To the rest of us, we all knew that Derek Jeter was going to get elected to the Hall of Fame this year, but it seemed to even humble him. Did you get that feeling from him?
Oh, yeah, no doubt. He never wanted to talk about that, because you never know. I mean, some people may think maybe he's not a first ballot guy. You know, eventually he'd get in. But I think when he got in, you could see on the interviews how excited he was in his face. And that was pretty cool to see, though, because he does not take things like that for granted.
We're going to spend a lot of this year reminiscing about his great moments. Spring training 1996, you got to see him for the first time. And, I didn't even think about this till just now. We just lost Tony Fernandez a couple of days ago. Yeah. And he was your shortstop in spring training. Rest in peace. What do you remember about watching, I get to the time, 21-year-old Derek Jeter win that job in spring training?
Yeah, well, I think at that time, it was Tony's job, and Tony broke his arm in spring that year, and that's when they were, looking for trades that time, maybe to try to bring a veteran shortstop in, and Derek started playing pretty well. We had probably about 12, 15 games left in the spring that year, and he played pretty well. He hit the ball pretty good. He didn't have a great spring, so to speak, as far as, like, statistics, but he handled himself real well, real mature. He played good defense. He made some, mistakes here and there, obviously for a young kid like that. And but once he made that team in opening day and he hit that home run opening day, and all of a sudden his confidence level was there, and his maturity obviously has always been there, and he just took off and had a great career from that point on.
The highlight reels we see all the time. There are two plays I want to ask you about, one you were there for and one you weren't. So I'm curious about your perspective on both. The flip play in Oakland, you had the best view of all because Shane Spencer airmailed you, and you turn around. I guess you knew that he was supposed to be in the area,
yeah.
But describe for me what you saw when you turned around after the ball went over your head.
Well, I knew it was over my head, and I knew that the ball, it was losing velocity. It wasn't going to reach home plate, and I knew Derek should be there, and he was. But what made the play so great, it had to be the most perfect flip. I mean, he had to catch it and release it. It had to be in one spot where he could catch it to make that tag. If it was a high flip or an outside flip, whatever, the guy's safe. So he made the perfect flip right in his glove there, and they got him by a fraction. It was, to me, it all happened in slow motion, and I remember that. And I looked at Derek going, okay, and I still didn't think we had a chance to get him out. And he flipped it. I was like, okay. And, you know, the umpire with no replays back then, he could have called that safer out either way if he missed the call, and nobody would have, you know, argued it. So, I mean, it was one of the most amazing plays that he did. But he's always been that way. He's always been at the right place at the right time on the field and, you know, right where he's supposed to be.
Do you remember the idea of right where he's supposed to be, of working on that play in the spring or whatever it is, and when you work on relays and knowing that was I know we never draw it up the way it just happened and you never see it the way it finishes, but the idea that he's there and the play is possible, do you remember that happening in the spring?
Because it's basically you know, if a ball goes down the left field line left field line with a man on first base, from first base I'm in that spot down the third base line
there,
in case they airmail the double cut that way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in that area too, so we practice that. We know where we're supposed to be at. There's really nowhere else for Derek to be at that time. He just can't be sitting at shortstop doing nothing. And Joe Torre always kind of gave us the freedom, too, to roam. And if you see something going on, you read the play with your eyes. And sometimes I know that I got a sure double. Well, I'm already going to cut off third because, you know, we want to make sure that he stops there. And I just peel off and go where I should be at the time, where you don't really practice that. You just kind of know where you got to be.
The other one I want to ask you about, you were not there in 04 when he dives into the seats against the Red Sox. You were with St. Louis, I guess, in 04.
Yes.
Do you remember the first time you saw that? Do you remember, like, coming home that night and seeing the replays and what you thought of it?
I did. I had heard about it. I had heard about the whole game from, you know, just hearing about it. And I couldn't wait to see the highlights. Yeah, I mean, it was a great play. I mean, first of all, he caught the ball in full speed going down third base line that way. And at the old stadium, it kind of slopes down. The grass kind of, like, you know, slopes down for the rain,
mm-hmm.
would drain that way and stuff. He picked up speed as he went along there and couldn't slow down. So when he went in the seats there, I was like, you had no idea what was going to happen. But fortunately, he was all right. But what a great play. And, you know, obviously, he gets the Red Sox as well. It just fired up the crowd, and that was it.
The thing that I like to remind people, you know, that wasn't, you know, Game 7 of the ALCS. That was Game 90, I think.
Yeah.
And it was July 1st. To me, it always demonstrated how badly he wanted to win, because, you know, you're not winning or losing a World Series if that ball falls in.
Yeah.
But that was the determination made on that play. I have to make that play.
Yeah, he did. I mean, he caught it. You know, he caught it, whatever, 5 feet, you know, in play. Mm-hmm. He made the great play. But, again, you can't slow down there. You know, I think he was hoping the fans would catch him and maybe stuff like that. But everybody
parted the seas.
And, you know, he busted his face a little bit. But and still held on to the ball. So,
yeah,
it was one of the greatest plays, you know, we've seen.
It's going to be fun to be there this summer, and look forward to seeing you there and along the way. Tino, thanks for sharing a couple of minutes with us. And listen, it's always fun to reminisce with you. Yankee fans like to do that because there haven't been a lot of those parades lately.
Yeah,
so
I know.
We always like to look back.
I know, that's great. But hopefully this year, this team, they have the talent. I'm telling you, I'm looking for a World Series championship this year for sure.
I just recorded that, and I'm going to play that back for you late October sometime.
Please please do. I can't wait.
Tino, thanks for the time. I appreciate
it. You got it. Good seeing you.
That's Tino Martinez, special instructor here in Yankee camp, and you remember him obviously as the Yankee first baseman on those great championship teams, 96, 98. 99 and 2000. I'm Sweeney Murdy here at Steinbrenner Field in Tampa. Yankees and Blue Jays are coming up at 1 o'clock. John and Susan have the call. We've got your phone calls coming up, so get on the line, 877-337-6666.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.